Welcome to the MUFG Global Markets Podcast. I'm John Cook, and I'm joined today by George Goncalves, MUFG's head of U.S. macro strategy. It's Tuesday, October 11th, 2022. Welcome back to the podcast, George.
Great to be back as always.
Yeah, always, and it's always good to have you. So, George, it's particularly good to get you back on after last week's epic up-down round trip, you know, move in both rates and risk assets. For weeks, if not months now, you've advocated a strategy of selling the rip versus buying the dip, arguing, and I would say correctly so, in my opinion, that it's far too early for the Fed to pivot. And it has been a good call thus far. But before we, you know, kind of get into it, you know, the last week was just the last five trading days, let's say, were just so epic and so much going on. I think it would be helpful for our listeners and for me to just go over, you know, the last week or so to get a perspective of where we stand here today.
No, it's a standard 2022. Each week is a, you know, is impressive, and there's a lot going on. So last week, you know, and you know, this has been an ongoing theme of ours, as you just alluded to, that it makes sense to be defensive and just kind of, you know, take the Fed at face value when they got much more hawkish over the summer, and which, you know, they have not dialed back whatsoever since then. To take them at face value and just, you know, kind of look at the forwards and look at where they're projecting rates to go themselves and assume that they're going to get there unless something either happens in the interim or they get their desired results, which, you know, in the short time period that we have left for 2022, it's unlikely that inflation is going to decelerate that quickly for them to stop. And so this idea that the Fed was going to pivot in the summer, and then we had it once again last week to a certain extent with a pretty big move up in risk assets, as well as a huge decline in rates. I mean, we had over a 25 bip move in the 5-year from the quarter end high, in late September into the first week of October. I mean, that really made no sense in the decline in rates that we saw there. And you know, that plus I think that probably fed some of the risk appetite into other asset classes as well, as everyone's so focused on rates, led to a pretty decent rally in the earlier part of the week in the stock market. I think, you know, as the week progressed and as we kind of, you know, got through some of the data, especially towards the end of the week with the non-farm payroll report, which was really not too hot, not too cold, but just about right to keep the Fed policy in play into the end of the year, into the early part of 23. I think the markets finally are starting to finally come around to the idea that, you know, it's too soon to be forecasting pivots, that this is going to be a process. And I think that's, you know, where we are today. I think where we are for this week, we have a lot to go through, which we'll get to in the second part of our discussion. But I do think that there's that, you know, standard wishful, you know, hopeful thinking. You know, it's going to be hard to really dislodge this kind of buy the dip mentality. It's been with us for over the better part of a decade since the Fed did and started doing QE. But again, as you know, we've reiterated a number of times, because the circumstances are so much different now, and the Fed is not going to necessarily come out and bail out markets, especially with this sort of inflation backdrop. You know, we have to kind of, you know, table that sort of approach. Maybe one day it comes back and it makes sense to think about the Fed's going to be on your side. But at this point, I think the Fed, you know, fighting the Fed works in both directions, and why people have been trying to fight the Fed for the last, you know, 3 or 4 months makes no sense to me.
Yeah, and that's been that's definitely been the wrong trade. But as you said, last week was just so eventful with such a round trip in markets. And I'm just, you know, sort of thinking about it. I think if I'm not wrong, I think, you know, 10-year rates were about, you know, 30 basis points lower when we recorded this podcast last week. So that just kind of gives you a sense of just how massively things have moved. So that was a great recap of kind of where we, you know, how we got here, if you will. Why don't we turn things and go a little bit more forward looking and look at what lies ahead this week, and what it's going to be a very eventful week. It's inflation week. We get PPI as well as CPI. We also get the minutes from that hawkish September FOMC meeting, which at the time served as a reminder that the Fed is nowhere near done. You know, something you just spoke about. What are your views on and around these key releases?
So yeah, let's focus on inflation first, but you know, really the PPI and the CPI report are straddling the FOMC minutes, which I think are going to be critical too. We've had Fed speakers come out since the September meeting. And again, the majority, I think, have basically delivered a consistent message that they're not going to, that the idea is to get inflation under control, to really ensure that the inflation expectations of do not get out of hand, that that the both the consumer and markets really believe the Fed as being a credible inflation fighter. Again, as we alluded to in our last monthly, the markets and the consumers are starting to get that, and they have been taking down their expectations for inflation. But this is could be as easy come as easy go if we get a big spike in oil prices. So I think it's still too early to kind of say that if Fed's inflation fighting credibility has been regained enough for them to dial it back. If anything, the tendency is usually to go further and to overshoot to make sure the job is done and to really communicate to the public, both the consumer and markets, that they mean business and they're not going to necessarily allow inflation to creep into the or persist in the economy, that this is a fight that they're willing to take to the end. So as long as we get that sort of message, which I think we will get in the minutes, all it's going to do is reinforce again all of the both the meeting as well as all the statements since then. And this week we also have a lot of speakers, and we've had a couple speakers, notably Vice Chair Brainard, who's been coming across as a little bit more, I guess you would say, less hawkish. And she's still, I think, delivering the and pulling the party line in terms of further rate hikes are necessary to combat inflation. But she's been flagging some risks around global developments and what's going on with the data, and that we have to become more, the Fed might have to become more data dependent. That might come across in the signaling of the minutes, if there's anything of that. But as long as the majority still is around this core view of getting inflation under control, I think the minutes always are market moving events, like the meetings, but probably less so this time, considering how much communication we've gotten so far. I think going forward would be, if they mention anything about, they're not pivoting per se, because pivoting to me really feels like they're moving towards a new sort of stance. Right now they're tightening, so a pivot would be like moving towards a pause, not necessarily jumping go and going right into easing. They're going to probably stop and then stay on hold for a while. So pivoting would have to be about how do you get to the pivot, and how do you get to that pause. And so if we hear anything around the hikes sizes might slow down, or and just figure out how to do that with the few remaining meetings they have for this year, is the intent to try to like slow down into Q1 and then take a wait and see any sort of developments around that. That would be really instrumental, but maybe we don't get that until November. So other than that, I think the minutes shouldn't move to markets too much. So then that really leaves us with CPI. And CPI, PPI, the day before, I think are still going to be leaning towards at least meeting the survey expectations and the median, looking at Bloomberg, I think, still high sevens on PPI ex food, low to mid sevens, and then mid eights for PPI. I think that's all fair game. On the CPI, the expectations is for core to actually uptick. I mean, so long as it stays in the six range, I think still that's a problem for the Fed, and they're not going to view that as victory. Headline can come and go depending on how things are being calculated. There's some signs of used car prices now starting to head lower, and some of the other pandemic hit industries perhaps are losing pricing power, and the economy is decelerating. So we're probably going to see some core or some kind of core mix there. And then maybe we'll see what rental prices did as well. But nonetheless, I don't think this is the month. This is September. This is not the month where we'll see a clear trend one way or the other. We're still elevated, very high inflation. And even if it were to come in lower, I don't think it sways the Fed much. I think you're going to need at least two or three, if not more, reports in a row, you know, heading significantly lower on the inflation front for them to, you know, really say the coast is clear or that they're going to pause at a minimum. And that gets us into like the, you know, January, February time period. So, I mean, I think, you know, again, if this is higher than expected, which will be the more negative outcome, then there's, you know, then that could then actually unleash what I'm concerned about, which is, you know, this kind of throwing in the towel, you know, cathartic moment in all asset classes where you get to people realizing, well, this inflation problem is just not going away. It's the end of the, getting close to the end of the year. We have midterms coming up. We have just less liquidity as each day goes by into the end of the year, that there's more of a kind of a cleansing process that happens. Your risk markets are kind of at some really key technical levels. You know, rates have been trying to, you know, rates have been above 4% for the most parts of the curve, but the 10-year and the 30-year have been kind of fighting this move above 4%. You know, if we get the cathartic move where everything goes above 4 in a meaningful way, and, you know, the stock market finally kind of sees that bigger move lower under 3,500 or something, that could then set up for, you know, the Fed having to hike less because financial conditions are being tightened by themselves. But we'll see. So yeah, it's a, you know, this week is pivotal. I think it sets us up for, you know, potentially a negative, you know, couple weeks ahead in the markets. So I don't think that the pain is over yet by any means.
Oof. It felt pretty painful up to this point. But yeah, to summarize here, FOMC minutes may be less important given all that Fed speak, you know, as of late. But watch for signs of any sort of signs of a pivot. And, you know, weak CPI, you know, probably doesn't do much as there just isn't kind of the preponderance of evidence the Fed needs. But higher CPI, it could get ugly. All right, so we'll stay tuned. And as a reminder for our listeners, if you are not receiving George's strategy reports directly, please reach out to him either on email or Bloomberg. Great stuff as always. Thanks again for coming on the podcast, George.
Thanks, John.
And thank you for listening to the MUFG Global Markets Podcast. Rate, review, and subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And reach out to your MUFG sales rep for any further information. Check back soon for more insights from the Global Markets Research Team.